From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro in for Michael Krasny. Silicon Valley is suburban, kinda, a region based like much of California on vast housing tracts, separate from vast office park tracts, encouraging lots of car travel and inevitably traffic. Even with mass transit like Caltrain to soften the edges of congestion, what if it was easier to bike to work without risking your life and sanity? Google, as part of its proposal to expand in Mountain View, has offered to pay to make the neighborhood around its campuses more bike-friendly. We'll talk about this plan and the future of cycling to work throughout the region in this hour on Forum. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro in for Michael Krasny. There are a wide variety of reasons many people don't bike to work, starting with a rational fear of being run over by cars and trucks. Google, working with the Silicon Valley Bike Coalition, has come up with a proposal to spend $5 million to improve the streets in Mountain View for cycling commuters. And that's what we're going to be talking about this hour. We have Shiloh Ballard, Executive Director of the Silicon Valley Bike Coalition, in studio with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And on the phone, we have Gerald Posky, Transportation Planner for Google. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be here.
And Chris Augenstein, Deputy Director of Planning for the Valley Transportation Authority, or the VTA, as locals call it. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, Gerald Posky, I thought I would start with you. Can you explain what this plan is about?
Yeah, there's really three parts to it. First, it's a vision that we have of a safe bike network, and we have a very strict definition of safe. We call it 8 to 80 safe. You could let your 8-year-old ride on it, an 80-year-old would feel comfortable riding on it. That level of safety needs to exist across the whole bike network with no gaps, no dangerous intersections. Second, that at first is a feel-good statement. Who's going to object to that? But we have a concrete way of measuring and visualizing how well a network performs to that standard, and then it shows you where it can be improved. So finally, we have a funding mechanism that partners with public agencies like VTA, nonprofits like Silicon Valley Bicycle Coalition, and funding sources, in this case Google, but it could be anyone and anywhere, to begin implementing projects that are going to make that vision a reality.
And I guess I want to ask you, I mean, this whole concept for the North Bayshore neighborhood of Mountain View was one element of a community benefits plan tied to Google's proposal to expand in Mountain View. And the city council has had, I guess, from your perspective, negative thoughts about the entirety of Google's proposal. Does that mean that the bike plan is at risk, or that it might be its ambitions might be reduced as a result?
Well, there are the actual funding we've offered. We've extended again to the city a second time, so that's still currently pending with the city of Mountain View. But what we're really proud of is that this plan, we started it for Mountain View, but we realized it can work anywhere. It can work in Atlanta, Minneapolis. It can work in Cupertino, anywhere that wants to improve their bike network to this standard. We're very proud of this plan. If we can start it here in Mountain View, that would be terrific. And I'll say Mountain View and our surrounding cities.
Shiloh Ballard, do you want to weigh in here as to you're somebody who bikes all over the region? What is new and notable about this?
Well, there's plenty. First and foremost, for those of you who are familiar with Google, if you go on their campus, the first thing that you'll notice is there are bikes everywhere, Google bikes. And at lunchtime, it just puts a big smile on your face to see employees zipping around their campus, building to building, downtown, spending money on Google bikes. So the first and foremost thing that's notable is that you have a fantastic business partner that's come out in a huge way to support biking. And they have been doing that for a long time. So that would be the first thing that I would say is most notable here. Another thing that's interesting is that Google and other advocates around the region are looking at how we measure our existing bike infrastructure from a different perspective. And they're looking at it in terms of, do you feel safe? Is it a stress-free type of situation when you're on your ride? So Google really built that into this plan, and that's exciting.
Talk about how that would work on the streets. On a campus, I can imagine you'd feel very comfortable, especially if it's one that provides bikes for free everywhere outside of every building. How does it work on the streets?
In terms of the stress-free aspect of things? Well, so Google has done some analysis to look at, you know, what do our corridors currently look like and how do you feel when you're riding on them and where are our gaps? And they've put together these very comprehensive maps where if you go to our website and your website, you can download the report and look and see the region in color to visually get a sense for Where do I feel safe riding? Where is it stress-free? And where are those gaps?
And so how would this money be used to address those gaps?
So the idea is that $5 million would be put out there and we'd be working in partnership with VTA and the Bike Coalition to say to public entities, hey, there's this pot of money out there. It doesn't have to be Mountain View. It can be in the surrounding region, anywhere where an employee of Google and other employees are feeding into the North Bayshore area to say, do you have an idea about how you might improve the bike infrastructure feeding into the North Bayshore? Submit an application to us and we'll evaluate it. And at the end of the day, perhaps it'll get funded.
Chris Augenstein, is it fair to say that Caltrain is already at capacity for bikes? They are a popular commuting option as it is.
Yeah, Caltrain is definitely at capacity or over capacity. A lot of bike riders use Caltrain, and it's very popular to ride your bike to Caltrain stations and put your bike on the train and then take that to complete your first or last mile connection.
So what would more money do to help change that situation? Because if you're encouraging a whole new population of people with bikes, how is that going to work if they need to use Caltrain?
Well, one of the things that's been explored and is currently being explored to address the Caltrain overcrowding issue is this idea of bike share. And you probably already know that bike sharing has already started throughout the Bay Area and is now in expansion mode. And one of the ideas about bike sharing is that if you have a bike sharing program on both ends of your trip, then you can leave your bike at home. For example, in San Francisco, you might get a bike share bike and take it to the Caltrain station, leave it at the Caltrain station. Then when you get off the Caltrain at your destination, you get back on a bike share bike and take it to your destination. So that's one thing we're exploring about addressing the Caltrain overcrowding issue.
Shiloh Ballard?
Yeah, I wanted to note also that Caltrain is in the midst of trying to address this problem very seriously. Bike Coalition, the Silicon Valley Bicycle Coalition, in partnership with our sister bike coalitions along the peninsula and in San Francisco, have been sitting down with Caltrain to discuss, you know, how do we expand capacity for bikes on Caltrain? And there is a proposal currently going through the process that's very exciting. It includes, thinking about what does the bike parking look like at a Caltrain station so that you can come and you don't have to worry, is my bike potentially going to get stolen while I'm going off to this meeting in San Francisco? Those are the kinds of proposals that are on the table and working their way through the process.
Wouldn't you also need, Chris Augenstein, more rail cars, more trains traveling on the network?
That is something that's also being explored. Caltrain is looking at perhaps having another dedicated car for bikes. But it's a pretty big capital expense to add vehicles. But it is part of the overall expansion program being explored by Caltrain.
Rachel, I'll clarify.
Yes, Gerald Posky.
We are focused on the 10-mile range where people can make that their entire trip. We think that once that network is created, it'll definitely change the driving patterns around here and hopefully relieve some of the stress that's on the roadway, although it may not change the full commutes up and down the peninsula.
I was kind of stunned to read that within a 9-mile radius of Google's office in Mountain View, 21% of the employee base are coming in by bike. Is that typical for Silicon Valley tech companies?
Certainly not typical. I don't know what other companies' numbers are. I know that on Bike to Work Day, we had 2,000 people bike in that day, which was it's wonderful, and it's going to be a little bit overwhelming sometimes to see them all in one place as people go to check in. But on a given day, when we see hundreds of bikes arriving per hour across the different ways of getting into the campus, it just becomes a normal thing, and you get used to it, and it's just part of the culture here.
So following along, though, I mean, I understand that the Google's expansion plans in Mountain View have various critics for a wide variety of reasons. But I'm wondering if you've experienced any blowback from drivers who are just like, don't take any space on that street for one more bike. I want the parking that exists now. I don't want, you know, that real estate given over to bike lanes, or for that matter, just driving real estate given over to bike lanes.
So one of the things is we haven't said we want a bike lane on this street or that street. This is a way of measuring. You know, we defined a vision of where we want to go. We're providing funding and a way of measuring that. It's going to be up to the cities to actually figure out what works in each city. But one thing we've seen is that Mountain View already has taken an aggressive look. Palo Alto also has an aggressive bike plan. And the cities around us are already, they have the plans to step up and do it. So I don't think we're changing too much of what they're doing. We're just trying to find ways to kick it off and get it moving faster.
Shiloh Ballard?
Yeah, in answer to the question, is there blowback, you know, as someone who's been working in advocacy for years and years and years on various issues, there's usually always blowback on any change that you're trying to make. And, you know, you could be putting in a fantastic park and the neighbors will have concerns and there will be blowback. On biking issues in particular, to give you some context, just last week, the city of San Jose had a community meeting about what they call a road diet along Lincoln Avenue. Understandably, and this is a neighborhood business district. It's a very charming little portion of the city where people walk and, you know, sit outdoors. It's a very quaint little place to shop and eat. Understandably, people are concerned about taking a four-lane road to a two-lane road, putting in bike lanes and a turning lane down the center. It's change, and people are accustomed to zipping down Lincoln Avenue to get from point A to point B. So at the community meeting last week, there were about 400 people evenly split between, yes, we want to keep the road diet here, and no, rip out the road diet. And for me, one of the things that's really telling about that community meeting was it's often very difficult to get people who support something to come out to a community meeting. You know, how you go up to your friend and say, hey, come to a city council meeting. It's going to be really exciting.
you're going to have to promise something after it, like
beer.
Cake or beer.
Right,
yeah.
Something like that. But in this case, it was evenly split. You know, it's not hard to get people who say no and they're very, you know, they're adamant and they're the naysayers to come out and express their views. But it is hard to get supporters out. And so in this particular case, it was evenly split. So, yes, we're seeing blowback, but I think there's a huge amount of support out there for what we call road diets, or just including more ways of getting around.
Can you speak regionally? I mean, different communities have different political cultures. Are some cities within Silicon Valley more amenable to alternative modes of transportation to vehicles than others?
Yeah, I would say on the whole, the climate in Silicon Valley is very pro bike and very pro people walking and what we call active transportation, which is basically trying to move people away from our typical ways of getting around, just a solo driver. But then city by city, you'll find hiccups along the way. So even though for the city of San Jose, in their general plan, they adopted very, very aggressive mode shift goals, you know, goals for getting people out of cars and walking and cycling and onto transit, this is embedded in their general plan, and they really want to achieve these goals. When you get down to the specific site, that specific street, it gets a lot harder to implement.
I imagine so. And then you have this other structural problem, which is, for instance, Caltrain can be a bike commuter's best friend, but that's one artery along the spine by the waterfront. And the rest of the region has been growing by leaps and bounds in recent years because of the economic boom. And what are the plans for making, you know, large trips in that part of the valley feasible for bicyclists?
And I think that's actually an excellent question for Chris at VTA, because they have just started their revamp of their master bicycle plan countywide.
Well, that sounds like a cue there, Chris Augenstein. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. As Shiloh mentioned, we are updating our countywide bike plan, and that's a pretty intensive effort. This year we have a nice funding pot to do that, and it's a very inclusive effort. We have, through our advisory committees, we have really good connections with all the cities in Santa Clara County. And pretty much the bike plan starts by reflecting the visions that the cities have for their bike systems. And almost every city has a really robust program, a really robust vision for what biking should be in Santa Clara County. And one of the biggest challenges that people face right now in bicycling around Santa Clara County is connectivity. And we have a really great trail system. We have buffered bike lanes. We have bike boulevards. But there's still a lot of barriers and freeways, railroads, creeks, those kinds of barriers. So what we're looking at from a regional perspective is sort of a corridor approach. As Gerald mentioned at the beginning, this sort of 880 idea where anybody, any age group, any skill level can ride a system that they feel safe on. That's kind of the idea that we're looking to implement region-wide. That would be a network of robust corridors. Think of the Guadalupe Creek Trail, which is a paved bike corridor going from essentially downtown San Jose up into the heart of Silicon Valley. That's a very nice facility. It's all off-road. It's really a very, very safe trail. And picture that with Mary Avenue bridges connecting all these different kind of corridors around Silicon Valley, then the system becomes something that's open to all these diverse skill levels of people, as well as being open just like a roadway network would be 24/7, and people then have a much more robust way to get around, and then they can take it for every trip. They can take it to recreate, they can take it to work, they can take it to, you know, do business at the local shopping center and so on.
Well, you raise an interesting question there, which is I think a lot of people think, you know, whether they are taking public transit or driving, that when we're talking about bicycling for a commute, we're talking about a young population, an active population, a population that can take a hill and arrive in a great big sweat at the company front doors. And so for a lot of people, it sounds like an exclusive problem for just a part of the population.
Well, we don't look at it that way. Again, we want to try to make a network that's open to everybody of all different skill levels. And one of the great advantages that Silicon Valley, that Santa Clara County has, is that it's a very, very flat geography. And we have this sort of natural corridors of creeks running north and south. So we have a really good head start just from the luck of our geography. There aren't a lot of hills to go up. And the idea is that if you have a very leisurely ride, you end up opening up, you know, that mode of transportation to a much broader group. We're also encouraging businesses to put facilities on their campuses. So if somebody does work up a little sweat, or they want to ride in a particular sort of attire, that they have a facility to change in and take a shower before they start work. And a lot of private companies are doing this, as well as a lot of public agencies are doing this. VTA has that facility for our staff. If somebody comes in and they're sweaty from a bike ride, I use it occasionally. I can take a shower and change my clothes and be ready for the workday.
Shallow Ballard?
Two things I wanted to mention and piggyback off of. Chris mentioned the Guadalupe Trail. That's a beautiful trail that goes north-south through San Jose and Silicon Valley. And when you're talking about Google's plan and vision for building out the bike network, I wanted to note that the trail count, San Jose does an annual trail count to figure out how many people are actually using the Guadalupe River Park Trail. And in 2007, at one of the stations that they were counting at near Coleman Avenue, it was, if I remember correctly, 250 riders. So that's 2007, 250 riders. Last year, when they did the trail count, it was at that same station, 1,200 riders. And the year before, it was around 700. So you saw a 50% increase just year over year. And it speaks to this notion of, as we're building out our entire bike infrastructure and making things connect better, people are using the bike more and more. On the business community's role in this, I mean, that's another reason why the Google Vision Plan is so exciting, because the business community, whether whether you're someone who's anti-corporate, you know, lefty activist, or someone who's right-wing Republican and thinks capitalism is, you know, the path to success, the fact remains that businesses play a huge role in potentially changing behavior and changing culture. And so just by providing showers, providing secure bike parking, and creating a campus that's designed like Google is proposing, where they're saying, hey, look, we're going to put in a bunch more square feet we want to, and we're not going to build parking. That's a message. And then also say, and we're going to help you get around in ways that are not conventional. But those kinds of efforts are huge in ultimately changing attitudes toward cycling and getting more people riding.
Gerald Posky, does Google's vision for commuting bicyclists extend beyond the Mountain View campus to satellite offices around the Bay Area?
Well, I think that, as I mentioned before, this vision plan can work anywhere. I mean, we have our Mountain View campus as our main headquarters. Our primary other offices would be in San Francisco or San Bruno, but I wouldn't pick those as the only other places. You know, anywhere that we can get more people biking is going to be good for everybody. You know, this is the 2,000 people that we're getting out of cars every day in this area are going to help this whole region, and the more that we can spread this around other parts of the Bay Area, whether it's Google campus, I don't want to call out my other industry partners, but you know, if Apple wants to do it at their campus or Facebook at their campus, this whole plan can be replicated anywhere that wants to implement it.
And I suppose it's worth noting, too, you know, I was kind of surprised reading up on this topic that one of the perks for Google in getting more people out of their cars and onto bikes is that you don't have to pay for as many expensive parking spaces.
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit in so many ways. We definitely proposed, as part of our building expansion plans, a net zero parking. We said we wanted to grow our campus without building any more parking. And we'll make the investments that we need to either in our shuttle system or in the bike network. And that's our vision of the future, is moving toward a world where parking is, everything's not centered around parking, and that bikes become a more prominent mode choice, and public transit, other forms of transit are all more popular, and we quit the reliance on the car.
Shiloh?
I wanted to give Gerald a bit of a hard time because he mentioned Apple and not wanting to call out his fellow
competitors.
So I wanted to give a shout out to Apple. You know, during Bike to Work Day and Bike to Work Month, we put on this we gamify riding your bike, and companies compete against each other in what we call the Company Bike Challenge, and Apple beat Google handily, actually. Google, I think you guys came in seventh overall. So anyway, I just wanted to give Daryl a bit of a hard time about that.
Bit of a hard time. We're getting a lot of comments. Martin writes on Facebook, let's see those dedicated bike paths, not lanes, because here in the USA, I will never ride in the same lane as a car. Drivers are clueless. We're talking about commuting by bicycle in Silicon Valley. Do you cycle to work? Is your company supportive of that effort? Call us here at 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro, and we're talking about bicycling in Silicon Valley, not just on the weekend, but Monday through Friday, too. And I want to put out the call not just to people who cycle to work, but people who drive to work and may not feel so positive about the folks on two wheels. We want your calls as well. 866-733-6786. You can email us at forum@kqed.org. We're watching our website. We're watching our Facebook page. We're watching our Twitter feed. However you want to communicate, we are checking it this hour. Juan comments on Facebook, roads are paid for with gas taxes, not chain or spoke taxes. Most of us driving are just trying to make a living while we dodge adults with so much free time they can pedal around like children. I would love to see drivable streets as well. I love biking on trails where it's safe. I want to put that to Chris Augenstein, because I imagine, you know, just given the VTA's position in the region, that you get a lot of comments like that.
Sure, we get comments like that. You know, it depends on the roadway. Some roadways are obviously designed for vehicle throughput. Other roadways are designed more for multi-use. And there's a growing trend, not only in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley, but around the country on this idea of complete streets. And the idea of complete streets is that streets can be designed for safe use by multiple users, and that includes automobiles. They're not, you know, the free flow of automobile traffic isn't necessarily mutually exclusive from a nice walkable street or a nice bikeable street. So we think there are street design strategies that will allow safe passage of automobiles and bicycles and pedestrians, and also have that street be a very beautiful street. So I see a lot of cities migrating towards that. We're actually involved in three complete street studies right now with multiple cities around Santa Clara County, and so I do see a growing trend of changing street design that's going to be geared toward accommodating multiple modes of travel safely and efficiently rather than just the automobile.
But from what you're talking about, it seems like we're talking about a systemic approach to streets that have been, you know, developed and designed one at a time over, I don't know, 150 years. It seems like it might take another 150 years to fix each one of them to have a system that works for all the people who need to use it in their various ways.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't take 150 years. Streets have been typically designed just for one use, and that's for the automobile. But, you know, it's a big investment, and, you know, there's what we're looking at now is we can't keep building streets, we can't keep expanding streets, we can't keep widening them. There are lots of repercussions for that, and we're looking to get greater utility out of the existing infrastructure we've already built, and that means redesigning streets to make them more amenable to accommodating multiple modes. And we're also not talking about all streets. You know, no one's really saying we should have bike lanes on freeways or, you know, very high-volume, high-speed streets are often not really conducive to that. There are more design changes that are required to make those streets more bike- and ped-friendly. Not to say you can't do that, but those would be more of the high-hanging fruit rather than the low-hanging fruit. But there are a lot of streets in the network around the county that are amenable to design changes that won't take that long, that could be done pretty quickly to accommodate multiple modes of travel.
Chanel writes on Facebook, "I just gave up my bike for good because I never felt there was anywhere safe to ride it in the Bay Area." Let's turn to the phones now. Dan in San Carlos.
Yeah, hey.
Hi.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good, good.
So I commuted for 5 years with Caltrain. I road ride, and I also coach a mountain bike team. And the biggest thing for me is even with the new 3-foot law for cars, the penalty is like $25 or $35. And even if someone gets injured or killed on a bike, the drivers, there's never been a driver convicted of anything for killing a bicyclist. I think that's a huge impediment for bicycling in the Bay Area.
Shiloh Ballard, I imagine that's something you hear of a lot. I mean, even as Dan is talking, I can think of one friend who was killed on a bike cycling to work, and two friends who were seriously injured, like put in the hospital for weeks.
Yeah, you know, certainly. Well, it seems like this is a good place to talk about an effort that's currently going on region-wide and nationwide around vision, what's called Vision Zero, and this is something that began in 1997 in Sweden. Where the parliament introduced a policy to eliminate deaths and major injuries on their roads by 2020. And that's through basically, I think every traffic collision is preventable, whether through engineering, education, or enforcement. And since they adopted this, they've had a 50% reduction in those kinds of collisions and injuries. Here in Silicon Valley and the region, we are pursuing getting every city on board with this Vision Zero campaign. San Jose just launched their campaign, and we're co-chairing that effort. San Francisco is really involved. San Mateo County, we're rolling out a Vision Zero toolkit. All of this is in an effort to make streets safer. And going back to the Google Vision Plan, stress-free. Get people on their bikes feeling very safe. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. But I also wanted to say, if you go to the Netherlands, that's paradise for bikes, right? They have a world-class infrastructure. And it's safe. People ride around without bike helmets because there's safety in numbers. But I also want to note that although there are, and I'm not discounting the fact that there are injuries and collisions, there are lots of safe routes out there, and it's a matter of finding those. And the infrastructure exists that if you talk to a fellow cyclist who knows the roads, you can find a good route to get to and from where you're going.
A listener writes, what about pedestrians? They need sidewalks and safe routes also. In Fairfax, where I live, bikes rule. Pedestrians are treated as second-class citizens. And certainly because you live and work in San Jose, you've seen a lot of people on the sidewalks, and that's been a big point of public debate.
Yeah. So last year, the city of San Jose grappled with this issue. And where they landed was, an acknowledgement that as we put more and more people in downtown San Jose, and we're that's a good thing, we're trying to get more people out on bikes and walking, we may have these user conflicts where you have a bicyclist on the sidewalk and you have a pedestrian on the cyclist on the sidewalk, and it can be unnerving for a pedestrian when someone is whizzing by, or it just feels like they're whizzing by, even though the bicyclist feels completely in control. So the city did adopt a sidewalk cycling ordinance where on certain sidewalks in downtown, you are not allowed to ride your bike. And the streets that they chose are the ones that have the best bike infrastructure. So we're not asking cyclists to take their life into their own hands by kicking them off the sidewalk and into a dangerous situation.
But then we get into that patchwork question and that presumption that bicyclists know, oh, on this street I can, ride on the sidewalk, and on that street I can't. When the rules differ from street to street, how much do we think that's going to be an effective set of rules?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, as a cyclist, how am I supposed to know, okay, I can ride on the sidewalk here and here I can't? It'll take some education over time, definitely.
Go ahead.
One of the other elements we were trying to address with this whole vision is that the region needs to be coordinated on this. Right now, I think you see a big difference as you go from city to city, the importance on sidewalks, the importance on safe biking. It varies, and you can actually get the feeling when you cross a city limit sign that the rules of the road, either literally or just the figurative priorities, have changed. And what we would like to see is a regional network where you don't get that perception and everything is smooth and seamless and it's consistent across all of our city boundaries. So that's what we look forward to.
Gerald Posky, it sounds like you are a bicyclist yourself, and I'm wondering if you're speaking about specific cities, like is there one where you think that there's a lot of work that needs to be done?
Well, I think even each city is making their own sort of optimal choices. You look at Mountain View, and I mentioned they have a bike plan with 200 future bike projects. Palo Alto just finished one. These cities have great plans, but they don't necessarily connect. They're kind of made in isolation, and each city is optimizing for its own needs. And what we're looking for is stepping back, looking more regionally, and one of the things that we would really be funding is cross connections to making sure that you can get from the great Palo Alto network to the great Mountain View network, where right now there's still gaps in the planning and gaps in the system.
Ray in Sunnyvale, thank you for joining us.
So there's a presumption here. I mean, 2.5 weeks ago, a bicyclist ran a traffic light and ended up killing himself in Sunnyvale. I just saw, honestly, another bicyclist running a traffic light and hitting a pedestrian down here on San Tomas Expressway. There's a presumption here that the cars are the problem. You know, aren't we going to do something to standardize and or license or educate the bicyclists so that they know the rules of the road and we level playing field everything? Because I'm appalled at the presumption that, well, the cars just simply don't see the drivers. There's no accountability for the bicyclists.
That's a good point, Shallow Ballard. It seems to me like if you want to ride a motorcycle, you have to take special classes to get up to speed on how that's different from driving. You know, having a four-wheel license doesn't necessarily qualify you to ride a motorcycle, but gosh, cyclists, you know, any two-year-old can get on a tricycle and take off.
So it's good that you mentioned two-year-olds because, you know, yes, the answer is absolutely cyclists should be abiding by the laws. Everyone should, you know, whether you're in a car or a bike or walking. So one of the ways that we get at educating folks is we at the Bike Coalition go into schools and teach kids, on average, about 6,000 kids a year, how to ride safely, the rules of the road. So we're starting young. We're starting with folks at an early age. But yes, absolutely, everyone should be abiding by the rules. You know, that definitely goes without saying.
Emily writes, my husband is a public school teacher who rides his bike and uses Caltrain to travel from San Francisco 40 miles south every day. Many people benefit from better bike paths, not only elite tech workers. With safer bike routes, his commute would be less stressful for him and take away some of my worry, too. Zeke in San Jose writes, as someone who's had a few bikes stolen over the years, I'm interested in hearing ideas from your guests about how to make bike parking more secure. For example, I've appreciated the Bike Coalition bike parking service at Levi Stadium. Are there opportunities to expand that kind of service or other types of secure parking? Chris Augenstein, this sounds like a question for you.
Yeah, we definitely see there are opportunities to expand secure bike parking. We've seen some progress on that. There are good facilities around in the public sector and in the private sector. If those out there in the radio land are familiar with the Mountain View Transit Center, there is a really great bike parking facility there, and you know, it's a cage parking, so you put your bike into a room and it's safe and secure. And so we do see opportunities for that, and those are the kind of things too that VTA is interested in helping fund for the cities to put those facilities in. We do look for opportunities to expand bike parking wherever we can, whether it's related to aspects of the transit facility or even with cities. We've had programs in the past where we've actually purchased bike parking facilities, racks and so on, and offered them to the cities for free as long as they implement them themselves. So, yeah, bike parking is a really huge part of the whole complete trip of taking your bike to and from wherever you're going.
Shallow Ballard?
Yeah, I just want to underscore what Chris is saying. You know, we at the Bike Coalition provide free valet bike parking at major events. The questioner referenced Levi's. You know, they at all of their events provide free valet parking through the Bike Coalition. This is a way that you can get people to try it. And just instead of driving my car to a Niners game, I'm going to get on my bike. I'm not going to have to worry about the security of my bike once I get there. We'd love to expand this to more major events, more of the you know, the Sharks, for example, the Quakes. It's a way of getting people to try it. Throw a leg over a bike, do it once, they'll love it, and they'll never, you know, why hassle with parking and, you know, the crowds after a big game to get back home? It's so convenient to ride a bike.
One listener writes, Google's vision should encompass electric-assisted bicycles that now have excellent range due to advances in battery technology. Another listener writes, thank you to Google for making roads and communities bike safe. However, as a tech company, Google needs to address as well distracted driving as a major threat to bicyclists and pedestrians. And I presume, Gerald Posky, that this person is talking specifically about Google's Android phones. Is there any kind of internal discussion within the company about, you know, dealing with that issue?
I mean, I know it's been a conversation in all aspects of society internally to Google. It is definitely not something that we're advocating. Car safety is, you know, just one of those big issues that's definitely a deterrent to biking, and keeping motorists focused on the road is everybody's goal.
Another listener writes, please refute the idea that the gas tax is the sole source of road revenue. Cyclists are citizens, and we pay our fair share. With that, let's go to the phones again, and Bhupesh in San Jose.
Hi. So I bike to work, and my commute is roughly like 13 miles. And out of those 13, 7 is on St. Thomas Expressway. And, I mean, I you know, ride on St. Thomas because there are no other good options. I have spent a good amount of research in figuring out alternate paths. But the remaining six are actually on a trail, which is a class one bike path, so it's very safe. But during the winter months, because, you know, there's less daylight, I can't use a trail during my evening commute back to home. And that becomes extremely risky, and, you know, I have to, you know, worry about a lot of things riding in the night. That's what my one comment. I've been listening to a lot of plans, but you should consider making these bike paths or bike trails safer for riding in the night. And I just want to bring another point that, you know, I see a lot of stuff while I'm riding to work, a lot of car accidents and stuff. Very rarely I actually see, you know, a biker running a red light just because of the safety issue. It's just that there are some intersections which are definitely designed poorly, and both the drivers and riders are confused when they should and should not move. You know, there are quite a lot of intersections along
that have not been designed for multiple use. It's an excellent point, Bhupesh, and Sarah in San Francisco has emailed along the same lines. It seems like whenever the infrastructure is changed to accommodate bikes, there's absolutely no public education about how everyone is supposed to negotiate and share the road. Where is the public education that should accompany these changes? I mean, it seems like beyond the public meetings that go around, you know, rejiggering the way a street is designed, that there needs to be the kind of signage that makes it absolutely clear to drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians what everybody is supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Again, in downtown San Jose, they just put in buffered bike lanes. And friends of mine who are pro-biking come to me and say, I'm confused about how I'm supposed to behave now with these bike lanes. If I want to turn right, you know, how do I do that? Because I have to cross into the bike lane. So absolutely, we do need, it's a very good point. We need to find a better way of making sure drivers and cyclists know how to behave with these new changes.
Chris Augenstein, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
Sure. Yeah, I agree with Shiloh. You know, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing out there is new, and the bike lanes that she mentions for San Jose is a new design. The striping pattern is something that is unique, really, to San Jose. And so, yeah, I think we do need to figure out a better way of signing these facilities and educating the public. And, you know, I think we can do that through social media. We can do that through e-based things like our web pages and so on and flyers. And, yeah, I think there's a lot more we can do to help educate the public on some of these new designs and new facilities.
Bruce in Oakland writes, I often see cars driving in designated bike lanes and have never seen a traffic stop for this. Where is the enforcement? Moving on to the next question, Bob in San Jose.
Yeah, good morning. My question is also a bit of a concern. I've noticed that over the last several years, most of the bike planning and bike advocacy things are dealing with a lot of segregated, separated facilities, such as cycle tracks, side paths, things like that. And as an everyday bicycle commuter, what I've noticed is that most people who ride their bikes on a regular basis choose roads just the way people who drive cars and motorcycles do, that are the shortest route from point A to point B, and therefore also the fastest. Thus, in a city like San Jose, you find people using things like Lincoln Avenue to get from from Willow Glen into downtown San Jose because there are no freeway on-ramps or off-ramps to deal with, or they'll use Meridian Avenue or Bascom Avenue or things like that, or San Carlos, because those are the direct routes. Same reason the cars like them. Yet what I'm finding is that more and more we're getting pushed into facilities that are we're told are separate but equal, but we all know that separate but equal does not exist.
Well, so this is an interesting question. Chris Augenstein, I wonder if you want to speak to that, you know, the need for speed. Everybody seems to have it regardless of the mode of transport.
Sure. Yeah. You know, he's raising a good point. You know, everybody likes to take the most direct, the quickest route. I don't think there's a sort of a desire to to push people into routes that are less efficient for them. I think what everyone's trying to move towards is making multiple, having a choice of multiple routes that are safe that they can take, including the most direct routes. And, you know, we try to, I think from a planning perspective and an implementation funding perspective, we try to address those projects, those corridors where we might get the biggest bang for the buck. So it's not going to all happen overnight, but we are trying to focus on those corridors that do have a lot of trips, that we know have a lot of bike trips. I would also say that with the off-street facilities, kind of like the Guadalupe Trail and the Stevens Creek Trails, those are very direct, they're very straight, and a lot of people like those. Even if they have to take even if it's a little bit longer trip, the added comfort level is appealing to a lot of people. Now, we do know, we hear this a lot in our BPAC, there are a group of really, really experienced, competent riders who feel comfortable riding even in situations where a lot of people might not feel that same level of comfort, and they have a different perspective on the network, a valid perspective, but a different perspective nevertheless. So it is a long-range planning sort of vision that we want to really make multiple corridors within the network to serve all different kinds of riding skill levels.
Yeah, thank
if I
you.
I can add one on why we came up with the vision plan. One of the things is we tend, even in this conversation, to focus on the people who are biking today, the 13-mile commutes, the arriving to work sweaty. And what we discovered is we've got that 10 to 20% of our population who is doing that today. But there is this very large population that's in that next category that says, I'll go out of my way. It just needs to be safe. And so we're not trying to deny choices to people who want to be on the fast streets and in the lane. But what we've seen is that it really is more than half the people who say, I would ride if it were safe, if I had a nice route the whole way. And so we're trying to reach out to that set of people who aren't calling in as bikers today, but who could be in the future. They don't want to ride to work sweaty. They don't want to have to be racing with traffic. They just want a nice leisurely commute. So that's who we're after to reach, is that next segment of the population.
Gerald Posky, you guys have actually, surveyed your working population and know that about 9% of the folks at the Mountain View facility are biking into work. How big do you think the percentage would be if the way to work were felt completely safe and stress-free?
Our goal is to double that.
To get to 20%?
That's our goal, 20% by 2020.
Ben writes, does the average worker live close enough to their employer to bike? Does anyone have metrics on this per capita, locally, statewide? Shiloh Ballard?
So I actually do have a statistic. Almost 40% of Bay Area residents live within 5 miles of their workplace.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's completely and totally doable on a bike. And the upside is you arrive at work with a big smile on your face. It's also important to note that only 23% of our overall trips are to and from work. So there are lots of other trips that are going on during the day, on the weekends, where we're getting around by car and we could be getting around by bike.
Let's hit the phones again. Harvey in Berkeley.
Hello. Hello, Rachel.
Yes.
Hello, Chris, Jarl, and Shiloh.
And Harvey, I'm going to ask you to hurry up with that question because we've just got a few minutes left.
Okay. In the Netherlands, they just installed last year in Amsterdam a solar electric bike path where they embed solar panels in concrete and cover it with a strong glass cover with a non-slip surface. And I think Google should look into these solar electric bike path near Amsterdam as a way you can light it up at night use the energy to light it up at night or power homes like they do in Amsterdam. So that's another thing that's available. And also with induction charging, they can charge up electric bikes while it's on the solar electric bike path.
Well, thank you for that suggestion, Harvey. So we've just got a couple of minutes left. Any last words, Gerald Posky?
No, I think that we like the vision. We hope other people can read it, incorporate it into their plans for their cities. And Shiloh, I'm going to throw one thing to you. With the people who are worried about cars versus bikes and that we shouldn't be accommodating bikes, maybe instead of planning bike to work day, you should plan a don't bike to work day, and we can see these thousands of bikers in cars and see what would happen to our traffic in that situation.
What an interesting suggestion. What do you say, Shiloh Ballard?
I'm not sure about that, Gerald. We'll look into it. I did want to.
It would have the function of a boycott.
It's an interesting idea. We'll have to talk. You know, one thing that I wanted to mention.
Well, I do want to ask in as we close up here, what is next for this plan? Where do we go from here?
For Google, the funding of the plan, we are currently proposed as part of one of our building proposals to the Mountain View City Council, and we should know the resolution of that, I think, later this year. But if anybody wants to reach out and try to copy this plan and use it in their area, we're definitely willing to help out.
Any last words, Chris Augenstein?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. Maybe just a little plug for transit, just to remind people that, you know, we all VTA vehicles do accommodate bikes. We've seen a big uptick in bikes on transit in all of our modes, on buses and light rail and Caltrain. And so, you know, biking to transit and then taking transit to work or the other end, you know, taking transit and then biking the last mile or so, those are good options for folks.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests today. Chris Augenstein with the Valley Transportation Authority, Shiloh Ballard with the Silicon Valley Bike Coalition, and Gerald Posky, Transportation Planner for Google. You've been listening to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro.